Oh, you're letting me start this time.
I know.
We got a guest on today.
We do.
And, you know, Eli, he's super kind. He's really good with guests. Very good. And he's explaining, hey, it's going to go to Will. And every time you say that, dude, it's never me.
I start it.
Always like, welcome to the day. Because you want to get your pitch out there. That's so hilarious. Everybody that doesn't know that Eli's in sales, you can find Day1$0 on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play.
YouTube. Yeah.
Facebook. Wherever you like it.
Yeah.
How about our YouTube?
We're growing our YouTube channel. So if you're listening to this and you miss seeing us, YouTube's the place to go.
There you go. How's my pitch? Is it getting better?
You're getting there.
Man. Good. It's going to be a fun Friday. We have a perfect, I still don't want to announce you yet. I'm waiting for a sec. But I've been on one for a couple of weeks. There's been some, I don't want to say anger, but there's been frustration. There's been, like, you ever want to grab somebody by the shoulders and just shake them and wake them up? Mm-hmm. There's been that. So whatever you want to call that. Mm-hmm. But because you want people to win. And I want people to win. And it breaks my heart when I watch people, like, not put the work in. We've been having this conversation for, like, 2 weeks, dude. And it's been about what makes us different. And I don't see us different. That could be a problem, too. Because, and then when you hear people's why, there's a ton of, like, creative, just fancy shit getting talked about nowadays. And I'm none of them. I don't know. I wake up and I get after it. And there is no end. Mm-hmm. We figured that out. It's just like you're never going to have all of your emails done. You're never going to have every task. And by the way, if everything is done and your pipeline is empty, that's actually a problem, right? Mm-hmm. But so I'm thinking, like, man, so I was talking to Scott Leffert, you know, our lender. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, hey. And he's like, dude, and this is not a brag. But Scott's like, we should have had him on with our guest today. It'd been really cool. But he's like, I don't know, man. He's like, I've never even seen you sick.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, I want to invite you to, like, go camping so bad. I don't even know if that's an appropriate question for you. Right? And
that's,
this is why I called him.
That's a legitimate concern.
Because I've known Scott since prior to real estate. So he knew me from, you know, Fit Republic and doing the fitness thing. And I just, like, man, I don't know if, like, do I feel like I don't deserve it? I don't deserve a break? What do I don't know. And he's like, man, I think you just got a different gear. Mm-hmm. You know, like some people, there's just certain things about it. And the bottom line is I'm still trying to figure out, like, when people, like, wake up and, like, they're motivated or they're not, or, like, get after it, attack life. The only thing I can think about is, like, I've been super neurotic, probably the wrong word in my brain, super neurotic about military operations, police operations. And, like, man, I would completely indulge myself into those professions and just really, really take it serious and be as prepared as possible for myself and for Marines or other officers. And, man, we worked super late nights, but then we do a lot of different, like, reconnaissance for the next day and what the city was going to look like and what we were doing. And, man, I just love diving into that. And I think, man, like, once you and I got together, that first year you and I together, we were having babies, and it was just crazy, right?
Well, we weren't having babies, but we were each having babies. So.
Correct.
Like, we're still trying. It's not working for some reason. Yeah, we're still trying.
Our significant others. Yeah, you and I were running around on cocaine. They were having babies. Don't dive too far into that. We'll have them on one day. Whatever. But, man, it was just like throwing shit against the wall and getting after it. Like, and then, man, as I got more poise and more direction and kind of started seeing it, and I remembered, like, as I got more vetted, I started kind of like being more comfortable with our craft, very comfortable, like, military operations, police operations. And I started figuring, like, oh, well, this battlefield is business. Oh, I don't have to be different. Like, it's just visualizing certain things and, like, oh, well, this now is my business is now my battlefield.
Right.
But now I'm getting that same mentality. And I don't wake up and, like, do 10 jumping jacks, say 10 nice things to myself in the mirror.
Yep.
Right. And then, like, okay. I get up. I usually use the restroom, brush my teeth, wash my face, slay myself in my garage. Right. Yep. Like, cool. And then whatever we're just getting after it. And, like, I'm the person that's on today. I want to hear from her as well, because I just want to hear her opinion, because she's one of those, you know, and, like, you're one of those. And, like, I don't know why I don't take vacations. I'm not saying I shouldn't. I'm sure at some point we will, and COVID was part of that. But, like, man, like, I'll take a random nap on a Tuesday if we got nothing going on for, like, an hour and a half. I'll just nap. Like, I'm super okay with, like, not – I don't need to feel like I have to be busy. Mm-hmm. I'll take a nap that recharges me. I see my son for 2 hours a night in the evening, and if I got to get some more social media or business done or creative, cool. But then those 2 hours kind of recharge me, right? Mm-hmm. I don't need these detachments we've been talking about. But this person that's on today, she's been our A1 since day one, dude. And I remember mm-hmm. when she first interviewed with us. So, yes, full disclosure, she's in real estate. She's a mom. Yep. She's a badass. We'll let her talk here in a minute. But
took words right out of my mouth.
But it's crazy because she came in and she was like, she interviewed for a couple different places. She found us when you and I just partnered. We were probably together for 6 months maybe mm-hmm. at that point. And she was like, guys, I don't know. I don't know if I can roll with you guys. Like, you yep. guys are on one. You guys are that. Getting after it. And like, and I'm like, what? No. Like, hey, all good. Like, if you just follow what we're talking about while utilizing your own intuition and your own abilities, like, you're going to be fine. And it's crazy that same person that was sitting at that table not thinking that she could keep up with us is by far our most successful agent, mm-hmm. not only with our brand, but with her own brand. Like, she does a lot of our YouTube stuff with us, and we grind deals together. But she's also created her own pipeline, right? And like, so she's got her own thing going in addition to what she does with us. And, like, I ain't never seen her turn it off,
mm-mm.
right? And nope. She's got two sons that play college football, studs. Mm-hmm. She's got a daughter who's getting ready for college, who was in color guard, mm-hmm. right? And academically successful. Color guard's hard, by the way. If you don't know what color guard is, it's with marching band, stud. She's a stud.
Yeah.
So she's mom, but then, man, like, she's getting after her career. And like, dude, she'll call us on weekends, mm-hmm. and she's straight to the point. Hey, yeah. Will, here's the situation.
Yeah, it's
here's
me.
Here's my question.
It's usually me that's going, hi, Mandy.
Yeah.
How are you?
And she, I don't need a pat on my ass. I don't need a how's your fucking day going?
No. Nope.
Hey, what's up? Here's the situation. What do you think?
Yep.
Answer the situation. Good to go. Have a great day. And then she's back at it. Like, man, like, I kind of want to know what makes her tick. But in addition to that, I've been having a great time bringing some people from our circle. We've had some super well-known, quote-unquote, people on the podcast. But what's even cooler is, like, having people that are around us, I just fucking get after mm-hmm. it, right? And trying to figure out what makes them tick. Because I can't figure it out yet. I don't have the song in the morning. I don't bang a gong.
Yeah.
I don't smoke any weed. Yeah. I don't know. I just get after it. But with that being said, mm-hmm. one of our studs, one of the originals, Manny Mullins.
OG, no S, Mullin.
Manny.
Yep.
I think there's two of
her. I just learned that yesterday.
I think there's two of her. There's got to be two of her. There's got to be two of her. So it's Mandy Mullins.
There we go.
That's awesome.
Mandy,
hey,
what's
guys.
Up?
I like it. What's up, Mandy?
Hey. So, yeah, isn't it nice that it took us how long? 3 years to take the S off?
About, huh? There we go.
No, I'm not taking it off. I'm still not convinced that there's not two of you. You guys think what you got.
Well, you call me what you want.
I did put an I on the end of your name, which was not there previous to you joining the team.
But you kept it.
Yeah.
But you kept it.
You did
it.
That. She did. I know. I kept it.
I remember she was like, no, I kind of like that. And then I think she adopted it for like her social media. And
oh, I did. I took it.
Mandy with an I.
I'm curious because I talk about, all right, this is like my business is now like my battlefield. And I read a little bit of that book, The Alter Ego. And it was written by a gentleman. I can't remember. It's a yellow cover. Look it up. But he talked about all of the athletes he's been like a performance coach for and how they all had alter egos.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had to visualize themselves as like Superman or super football man or whatever to just or like a Ray Lewis just being a monster on the field. Or Beyonce. He talked about Beyonce in his book and how she took this whole, you know, devil side or whatever you
Sasha
want to call
Fierce,
it. Sasha
yeah.
Fierce,
yeah.
right? Like devil how she had to like be like someone that. Else. Well, because she was a church girl. She, was, she sang in the church. And
right. And Mamba.
So did that I have anything to do with like a new chapter in your life?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Absolutely.
And it's like, hey, I got to show up. I got to be me. Was
it's different. It was a permission is what it was. Because I had always been sort of locked down, you know, kind of on lockdown. And I think in, you know, it's interesting when you enter into a whole new realm of people that don't know you.
Right.
I hadn't had that experience for, well, probably since I went to college.
So it's like a new opportunity like you're going to a new school in a different state.
Oh, yeah. Nobody even knows my name, and they put an S on the end of it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Holy shit.
It's also cool because it's like, hey, if nobody knows you, it's like this fresh start
it's
where like, I get to be whoever I want to be.
I'm not in any boxes. And I think, too, partly because of my background, there was a lot of... there was a lack of permission to do anything outside the traditional whatever it is that I should have done, which I never did.
And was that growing up? Just the way you grew up or the profession
it was
that you were in?
I think that it was the Well, my folks were so much older than me, and so there was a whole generational thing. Like, there was a, literally, they were my grandparents. They should have been my grandparents.
Really?
Yeah.
You're the youngest of?
10.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
And so Daddy was 57, and Mom was 44 when I was born.
Wow.
So that was...
Miracle
you can,
baby.
You, yeah, wow. Well, and you can imagine the disconnect on something like that. But anyway, there was all of the old gender roles and all of that sort of thing that I just simply couldn't do. I mean, I had no... You talk about how you don't need anything in the morning to get you going. Well, I conversely couldn't do, you know, step into that role thing. It just didn't work. I had no comprehension of how to even, what it even looked like to be the wife and the, you know, the stay-at-home mama. And you know,
were just so restricted by what you had to do.
Yeah. And so, and because I couldn't do it, I just felt like, well, I got to go find something I can do, you know, that kind of thing. And so I kept trying to reinvent a world that would work, you know, and that sort of thing. But then after all those years of doing other things, childcare and all that, I was just really itching to be free. And that's what you guys had provided, that opportunity.
Manny had been through so much shit. She's like, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Man.
These it's got to be better. I know. All right. Well,
it's a good point. Yeah. It's a good point. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. So maybe so it just comes down to like that perspective, you know, like a lot of folks that, you know, go through a lot of, traumatic situations or like folks that are, you know, come home from deployment or even people that just go for a long duration of time and witness, you know, or live and experience like a third world country where kids go through, like you come home with a different perspective and just the nature of your professions and some of the guidelines with some of those and how you grew up, just super restrictive and had just haven't had a chance to get after it.
Exactly. And wanting to. And that was
what changed that. So what, cause I'm sure you wanted to for a long time.
Always.
But what finally kicked a bucket to make you.
Well, that's interesting.
Go into it.
You know, I guess that it really got to the point where, I'm pretty pragmatic and I think that the choices I make.
What
often,
does pragmatic mean?
It's kind of practical, sort of, but
thank you.
But it's beyond.
I hear that all the time, and every time I'm like, what
"It's
does that
not
mean?
Exactly practical. It's more encompassing, I think." But
like logical, practical, like
it has to make some sort of linear sense.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I always have been. So I want to be efficient, right?
Right.
Efficiency is important. So you know, when you start out and you're thinking, okay, this makes sense. It sucks. But it'll work.
It's safe. Or
it will get the job done.
Oh, got it.
Okay. It doesn't have to be okay for me necessarily. I have a job. I'm a mom. I have a scenario within my marriage, and I need to produce.
Ma'am.
And this is where I can do that. But then when it became no longer practical because I didn't need childcare, see, that was the big kicker. Free childcare and an income really made sense financially. And then I did like working with the inner city population and stuff like that. And there was a lot of, you know, benefits that way. But so I was kind of getting my needs met that way. But at that point where I didn't need childcare anymore, I really began to, you know, lean into, guys, how can we change this scenario so that it makes sense financially for me to keep doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, we're not going to. So so they really, I think, forced my hand. I think that I would have continued trying to make it make sense, but they were just like, nah, we're done.
But out of all things, you chose real estate, which is 100% commission.
I know.
Right? Like, of all things, it's like, it's like there's no safety net. Like, you either grind and get out there and get after it or not. Was there anything about the schedule that you liked, or was it just, is there anything about real estate
really
that was appealing
scary
to you? Or
I think that it was sort of presented, it was kind of put before me as an option, and the barrier of entry, as we talked. You know,
it's not
you
terrible.
And I have talked, it's
study
not,
for a couple
it's not
months.
Super hard. Yep. It's not. And I was at a place where I just couldn't. I think I simply couldn't do it anymore. The whole 9 to 5 and you know, throwing yourself
like the
into,
fear of being back into like another system where people are in charge of you.
Where,
or something
and you're
like
just
that.
Because I know how I am. I'm going to stay if I have to stay. If I have to be there, if nobody else is covering, I'm not leaving because I'm just not. And that's kind of what I think you were talking about earlier.
Correct.
I don't understand that, but it's real. If it's if I need to be there, I'm there.
And you were somewhat newer. How long were you in real estate before you met Ilana?
I think I got my license right at the end of 18. So, and I started working with you guys
like
at the October of 19.
Yeah.
I was pretty new.
Or
still.
October of, no, it was October of 18 or December of 18, right?
Was it 18?
It couldn't have been. Yeah, it wasn't right before 2020.
Yeah, well, you're right. Yeah. It wasn't. Yeah. So it would have been. Yeah, that's when it was.
So pretty dang new.
What I remember, I remember you talked about, like, you had a coach as well, right? Through Buffini.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you first started coming into real estate, like, and this is important for people to understand too, is like, just being resourceful. You know, like when people first get into fitness and like, oh, I don't know if I can afford a trainer. You can't afford not to have a trainer.
100%.
Depending on how at risk your health is or your situation and your lack of accountability. So like you came into real estate, very few people, especially early on, decide to get coaching. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when you were getting your head right as far as diving into real estate, what was your thought process as far as like, because it's super unique that you were in a situation like, hey, I'm gonna get coaching and I'm going to commit to that. You know, like a lot of people just, they think they can do it on their own first.
I never default to that. Well, I always default to how can I surround myself with influencers and winners and impactful people.
Back to the efficiency thing. That's the pragmatic thing about hey, path of least resistance is going to be putting me around the people that know what they're doing.
That's Eli fucked off for 10 years.
I did. Yeah. But, not pragmatic at all.
But, you know, and you're a lot younger than I was when I went into real estate. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of that too. But, my discovery process is never, oh, let me think. What would be nice? What would I enjoy? That's never it. That never even is a part of my discussion in my head. Usually it's how can I win? How can my kids win? What's the best? You know, I mean, and it doesn't ever get that. I stay confused about most things in life, but not that.
Yeah. You know, that's, and I was super intrigued by you because we talked about like your boys. And I remember when you were talking to us, like, I don't know if I can keep up with you guys. You guys are just on one, man.
Well,
like,
it's obvious. Yeah, it was then.
I'm like, hey, if you just apply what you're doing and just stay the course, man, you're going to crush. And I don't even think we asked you how many deals you'd done.
No, I don't think so.
But this is a super important, like, just point that I want to make was like, just when you bet on people, you know, like I'm the youngest of all girls, you know, and like mom, especially moms, like moms are badass, especially moms that endure. Right. So like, I'm hearing about the success of your sons and like, I think they were getting ready for college at that point. And we had a couple of different conversations about some of that. And I really started getting drawn to you as a person. Right. And like, man, if you find good people,
right.
Hey, I can teach you real estate. I can teach you our buyer prezos and listing prezos and certain things and how to negotiate. But I can't teach you how to go kick yourself in the ass. Like when when you were talking about some of your story to us personally, it was like, man, survivor, grinder, like regardless of circumstance, raise good kids.
Yeah.
And that's easier said than done. A lot of people, you know, have circumstances that, you know what, maybe they could blame their circumstances. And a lot of us would be like, yeah, fuck. Yeah, I get it. And like, not one ounce of that out of your mouth. It was just, man, just raising kids and getting after it despite some of your circumstances. Mm-hmm. And like, I got super drawn to that, not the typical interviews with real estate with like, how many deals have you done and who's your ideal client? Well, my ideal client is someone moving into their second home. They're married. They're on their third kid. Like, what the fuck? Where does that even come from?
I know.
Books.
Dude, like, you know who your ideal client is? The one who wants to work with you because you're new.
Sure, yeah.
Get out there and get a deal. And then you know how you get your next ideal client? You crush as a professional and they recommend somebody to you. Mm-hmm. And I never understood that ideal client thing, not calling it wrong. Maybe I am. We've built an extraordinary sphere. And we've got folks that are super old, super Democratic, super Republican, all walks of life, all coming from referral base. So if we just crush as professionals and we cared, and man, like that was a quality that I saw in you as far as like how well you did with your kiddos. And like, man, like she cares. And I just thought it'd be a great opportunity to work with you.
Oh, that's
great. You know, and now look, and it's something interesting too. And I'm curious because, again, like out of all places, you go to us. And I'll ask this, but then I'll kind of rewind it. We were talking the other night on the phone. I shared a personal man success. I had I spoke to you about it as well. Like I had a win, you know, personally. Not important what it was, but it was a significant mindset like win for me, right? Mm-hmm. And we were talking and, you know, I think I bothered you for like an hour. We were chatting about it. And then Mandy said something to me. She goes, well, you know, like, no, I'm just, she's like, hey, it's really cool that you thought of me to call and like share that with me. I go, well, yeah, well, we've talked about some of my fails in this category. And so like, yeah, you and Eli are just the first people I think of that I want to share that with because I've had conversations with both of you on how to maybe tackle some of that and just get better with it. So then when I did, it's like, man, I just want to throw the credit there for the conversations and just the mindset chats we've had that helped me succeed there. And she thought that was super cool, bro. And she goes, Will, like, no exaggeration, I think, like, I can't remember another time outside of you and Eli where I was around people that just genuinely respected me. Baffled me.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And where do you, is it, so you're also a Care Bear, right? And like, I run into this problem, and I've talked about, like, sometimes I can be so eager to help people and be a value add that it looks like I'm fawning, right? And Brian Shontosh had a really cool write-up on his Crooked Butterfly one time where he talked about fawning. And he wasn't talking about me, full disclosure. He just wrote about it, and it spoke to me. It was like, you know, certain behaviors, whether intentional or not, can give the impression that you're fawning. And psychologically, like, maybe people don't even mean to do it, but they can walk on you or abuse you or certain ways because it's like you're always there. You're always available. You're always happy to help. You know, like, that's my mom.
Yep, yep.
And I've seen some of my mom's friends kind of act a certain way. Now, I took on some of that behavior, but then I also check people if they get weird. So I'm like the hybrid, but I wonder, like, because I see how much, like, you care and you give. Do you think it's like people haven't respected you for some of that as well, or,
you know,
where do you think it comes from?
I, you know, nothing happens in our life that we don't allow. I absolutely own that part of it. But I think two structures, like family structure, I was so invisible. I mean, because the youngest of 10 kids in the middle of nowhere, you guys, we did not have running water until I was 5 years old.
Damn. Wow.
I mean, and still very, like, no, in, like, you have to build a fire for heat and cook on fire stoves. I mean, just insane. Insane.
Yeah.
And it sets you up to be, I tease my friends who have come from other countries because they had very little and they came to America and they were amazed by how much they had, but I have such a kindred spirit with them because I understand what it's like to not have inside toilets and all that sort of thing. So when you're trying to show up in a culture and in a community that that's normal and you're not, see, you have to develop so many capacities. And I think that somehow my individual self-protection kind of got lost a little bit. And I didn't see it witnessed from my family. They didn't go out of their way to make sure I had any comfort.
No, right.
You know.
So just being raised a certain way and not necessarily having a level of respect by people, you didn't have a barometer for it either.
Exactly. Yeah, I did. I hadn't seen it witnessed. And so I had to kind of do the best I could with what I had. And I got a lot of strong abilities and capacities. And so when I find them, I try to lean on them more and more, I think.
Super interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mandy, you've got a... just a swagger about you, you know, for lack of a better term. I don't think I've actually, like, genuinely used that term maybe like one other time before, but she's just got this natural swagger about her. Like, we saw her in the parking lot. I was on the phone call, just opened the door for her, but didn't address her any other way. Just opened the door. She just walks by, flips me the peace sign, all like cool. And then just like strolls on by. And I'm like,
cause you're trying to impress Mandy. Her. And she's like, thanks, but you ain't shit, boy. You ain't shit,
something,
boy.
Dude. Something. Is that part, have you always had that? Is that part of your new,
probably.
Is that Mandy with an I? Is that what that is?
That might be Mandy with an I, like more so than I would ever have an opportunity to express. And again, that's that freedom.
Yeah.
See, when you're locked into a scenario where you have to only fill this role and you're really not good at it, then you're just like working and working and working. But when you find a place where you can catch your stride, it's just like,
not only catch your stride, but fucking crush.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're doing way more than catching a stride.
Well, I think it's important too, and if you guys are watching, like, I would never say your age, right? You say your own age, but like,
56.
There you go. Man. But here's what's so intriguing about you is, like, we've watched, and it's just credit to you. Eli and I have been focused on helping you with real estate, and we talk about that stuff, but that I'm not going to take any more credit than just that stuff. Like, but you've gone through some recent lifestyle changes.
Divorce.
And, you've shouldered that, you know, and then, hey, you've got to sell that house. You crushed it. You sold. You moved into a new place, and you just bought your own place, really cool spot, and, like, is there any, like, identity shift there? You know, because it's, man, like, you make it look super comfortable, but is it, I'm so interested because, like, people think that you just are who you are and you're stuck. And, like, I'm 36 and there's people that are around me at my age that feel that. There's people in their late 20s that act a certain way, that think they're stuck. And, like, you're 56, but you look young, you've got high energy, and, like, you grind every day. And I just wonder, like, one, how do you get after it every day? But then two, is it liberating while challenging at the same time mm-hmm. to kind of like not reinvent yourself, but yeah, you're no longer married. Kids right. are in college. Mm-hmm. Like you kind of are like, well, mm-hmm. like it or not, I'm going to be this new person. And instead of it allowing it to like put you into a cave or mm-hmm. back into some hibernation mm-hmm. or something weird, right. it like you've blossomed extremely well. And mm-hmm. I just wonder where that comes from.
Well, you know, the thing that I do struggle with the most, I think I'm not sure. And I don't know if these things ever even matter all that much. I do think self-awareness is important, but I'm somewhat introverted in that I do get pretty exhausted around people. Like right. if I have to do the people thing mm-hmm. a lot.
I'm watching the time.
yeah. You know what I mean? Like a big party with a big room social, full of people. Yeah. And that's just not my feel. But I do struggle not to get isolated. Because right now it'd be real easy for me. The kids are gone. And like today when my daughter wanted to just like, you know, bolt and just be gone and go do her thing, I kind of wanted to be mad. But then I thought, I'm so glad she's normal.
Yeah.
I'm so glad she doesn't want to stay with her mom mm-hmm. and, you know, sit in the house and stuff like that. We want to celebrate that. And so that leaves me with the responsibility of finding my thing, mm-hmm. you know. And so that, and you just can't do that unless you actively have to do it. It doesn't just happen.
Go
do it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting when, like, people are just so strong and their energy is, like, you just want to be around them, you know. And then, like, Mandy thinking us, like, oh, you guys are so respectful mm-hmm. to me and, oh, you guys charge me up, whatever. I'm just like, no, are you sure? Because mm-hmm. I just like being around you. Like, it's fucking easy to charge you up and be encouraging and being respectful and learning each other. You know, and I got a funny story. She already knew where I was going. See the laugh? Uh-oh. We were talking real estate. She's in the middle of this grind. And this is super important for you guys as far as, like, if you're an entrepreneur, if you got folks that work for you. We're in real estate, so, yep, you help us with our deals that we've done from our channel. But you also have your own deals, things that you're grinding. So you don't work for us. You work with us. Mm-hmm. And that's important, right? If mm-hmm. anything, we work for you, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember you had an objection going on. And this is so important for communication because I consider myself a pretty high-level communicator, right? But every once in a while, if you're in the thick of it and you're busy, you just don't know what you don't know. And super important when you're communicating with people that are working alongside of you with a big mission. Levels of communication. Forms. Like different forms of communication.
Right.
Phone calls, text messages, emails, in person. And texts or emails can get taken out of context. Mm-hmm. And depending on how important something is, it might require a phone call or being in person. And you had a super hard objection and we were going over it. And I'm so solution driven mm-hmm. to the point to where, like, you had a couple of things that were going on with an inspection. And I think it fell through or something like mm-hmm. that. And I was so solution driven. I'm like, yep, cool. Hey, and hey, next time or something, do this. Mm-hmm. Well, she was interpreting it as in, like, oh, if Will were on this deal doing the objection, mm-hmm. oh, it'd have gone just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, but because it's me is why it failed. And, like, first and foremost, the number one right, and that's probably not that far-fetched because I am so solution-driven mm-hmm. and I see things, like, that interpretation isn't like you just pulled it out of your ass. It's mm-hmm. actually not that far-fetched when we're in the thick of it. Mm-hmm. And, I got a text message back and she's like, honey, I have forgotten more about life than you know at all. And then she said something after that. But this is where, like, self-awareness and respect and care for people around you matter so much because mm-hmm. the second I got that text, I didn't know if she was, like, mad or angry or just trying to, like, let mm-hmm. me know. But I'm like, hey, oh, that's something right mm-hmm. there. And mm-hmm. whatever happened right there. It's not what I intended, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like, yep, hey, that requires a phone call. And so I threw a phone call. It's like 9 o'clock at night. We were going through deals, man. We're still grinding.
Oh, yeah.
But we were all new with each other and handfuls of deals every month. And I just, it was super important. I said, hey, before we even start talking, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Hey, whatever came across there and got that reaction, I'm sorry, because that's not what I'm intending at mm-hmm. all. And it was cool to hear her perspective because it's like, man, the one thing I really appreciated there was, like, her honesty to just go, well, this is how that came off. And I wonder, like, man, have I been like that towards someone else? But, like, they don't have the respect or the bravery or the whatever to just say something to me. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, is everybody just, like, yes men around me? Like, okay. Mm-hmm. But maybe I rub some of their, like, no, if I rub it the wrong way on purpose, good. Mm-hmm. I'm fine.
Right.
But if I rub you the wrong way and that's not my intention, like, no. I don't want you to be polite and not talk to me about it, because that's not, it's not my intention. And man, so she spoke to me about it. And that's when I started learning more about Mandy. And it definitely came from, like, from like some of your experiences and people not respecting you. I see exactly where that was. But I felt like that's where you and I got super, super close. And man, I felt proud. That was one of the most proud times I've ever taken a step back. Had some self-awareness of, like, just being open-minded that things can come off different. Don't be guarded when I call you and just apologize. Hey, not my intention. And you kind of explained it and some other things. And it was like, cool. No. Hey. And you know what, Mandy, that's great insight, because I am so solution driven. I didn't take a moment to just sympathize and just interact with the circumstances, you know, as it happened in real time, or just know that, like, phone call, maybe a phone call first.
Right.
You
exactly. know? And I've learned a lot about that. You know, the communication, see, I think that a lot of my objectives and my agendas over the years, because I didn't have a safe person who would call me and apologize, or who would call me and point out where I missed, you know, the mark there with that communication even. I mean, the apology was cherry on the top. You know, the very fact that you'd walk it through with me was, you know, I tell people, you guys had me at hello, but you really That's had cool. me then.
But, you're welcome, Eli.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Thank you.
What were you doing? What were you doing? Watching Netflix?
I know.
Get all the credit for everything, from our YouTube to everything. I'm in the trenches.
I know. Getting dealing with the crazy old lady.
Eli is the general in the
He keeps talking about all this credit I'm getting. I'm like, who's giving me all this credit? I don't know where it's coming from.
Don't change my
I don't know
narrative.
Where it's coming from.
It keeps me fueled every day.
That's hilarious. I'm just over here clicking buttons. He's talking about all this credit and shit. I don't know.
It just felt like a real bond, you know. There's something like camaraderie is forged in adversity, and I learned that 100%. In the Marine Corps. When you're really going through some shit together, and like, we're talking real estate, we're not talking war, and that, hey, cool. But man, real estate deals are extremely stressful. These are the biggest sells and buys of people's lives, and when you got 15 of them going on at the same time, and everybody's trying to communicate, and you've got your own to help them, and we're overlapping on deals, getting things done, like, like, there's a lot of adversity and a lot of, like, lives that can be affected by mistakes, right? And affected by our successes. And so it just felt like, man, like, she's, like, one of us, like, in it. And every day, I can't remember a day that goes by where we're not like, I draw so much from, like, your strength and being able to, like, change your lifestyle and be super independent. And, like, and some of these things are, like, hard for you, but they're freeing at the same time. And then, just watching you kick ass, I think, man, like, I can't remember when we're not talking about her, you know, and it gives us, like, so much energy and something to look forward to, and also being okay to, like, reinvent yourself, and, like, there's some things we're going into right now, and it's okay to do that.
Right? Absolutely.
You know, and, like, watching you do some of that, I just, have you ever dialed this down as far as, like, Do you say 10 nice things to yourself in the mirror every day? And I'm trying to probe so hard because we do have a lot of female watchers. And I'm just going to be straight up. Men, you're pussies. Sit down for a minute. Women are strong, but, like, sometimes women, it's just from my experience, I'm not bottlenecking women. But I do feel like they get constricted, or they need permission to do things. And especially, like, the older and older you get, you feel like you can't reinvent yourself. And I feel like... you are a significant value, especially to, like, women just wanting to have that independence and strength and self-respect and just getting after it. But you don't have this demeanor, like, and again, I'm not bottlenecking anybody, but you know, like, the whole lean in generation and, like, girls that want to be executives or CEOs, I'm cool with that, but they come off like assholes. And then this, you know, and I've had conversations with some of them. Well, men can be assholes. When men are assholes, they're considered smart. When women are assholes, oh, we're just bitches. Like, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to dive into all that, but I feel like when women are wanting to get after it and be a manager or an executive or just kind of own their career, they're almost overcompensating, like, over-indexing.
Like,
but you're comfortable, like, you're just so comfortable in your skin, and, like, you get after it, but you're also, like, just so kind and giving at the same time, and you quietly just fucking get after it. And I feel like I hope this is, like, the number one viewed listen to podcast, because I feel like there's just so much here, and I know I'm asking you a lot in, like, one question, but, like, there's so much as far as, like, what you're doing that I hope other women can, like, take and pull some, because we're men and we're pulling energy from you. Like, imagine, like, what women could pull from you, right?
I know it. And I do think that there is, again, there's, I don't know if it's a cultural thing or if it's a, you know, girl thing. I don't know what it is, but I do think that there is, if women can allow themselves to become that vulnerable person who doesn't have to have all the answers. And see, that's the thing. I think we're expected to somewhat. Mm. I think we're supposed to have everything, you know, have to figure it out.
You do have to overcompensate. Like, if you're going to be a successful woman, you have to have it all figured out.
Yeah, I think you do. And I think you're expected to. And I think that kind of goes back to the heart of that conflict that you and I had. See, I was trying to learn and sort of tease out the solution day at a time, because I was in the trenches with that for a few days and we had a few discussions, and it was kind of a big deal
on top of the 7 other deals you had.
Yeah, we were busy, you know. And so then when we got to the point where I felt like I had established, I really don't know. I have no idea what to do. And my client is the problem. It's not that client. It's mine.
Yeah.
And how can I, you know, find a way to, you know, keep this from exploding? And I had so many years of nobody helping me. Mm-hmm. See, I had to know. And that was so uncomfortable. And it keeps you in just like that box. And you just can't, you have no room to grow because you're so busy just staying right there where you have to be.
And it's all fear-based too.
Oh, so fear-based.
Because then if you do make a mistake.
Oh, because there is no grace for a mistake.
So what's going through your mind besides whooping my ass? Because you're so kind, and you've been in this, and like, I'm sure through childcare and church and things, you've had people blame you for stuff, and you just took it, right? So I'm texting you a solution, but you're taking it as in like, if I'd have been doing it, it'd have been done, so I'm kind of blaming you. Mm-hmm. So what was it that was like, that allowed you to just muster up the confidence to just respond to me?
Yeah,
like
it was. That? See, I think that really is something that gets downplayed a lot. The fact that you guys presented yourself, not just to me, but to everybody, you know, whoever you were around, when we were in the office at Berkshire and stuff like that, you guys were, you know, you were just available. You just made yourself available. Mm-hmm. If there was a way that you could impact or contribute in some way, or if you could, you know, teach or help or guide or anything, or, you know, you were just safe. Mm-hmm. See, and there's so few people like that. That's and cool. I think that when you think about the people that I experienced in that office, for example, all of them are wonderful and awesome. But, you know, when you look at it from my perspective, which one of them moved toward me?
Right.
See, you guys did.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
You know? Well, having people's back in the thick of it is just different. And I see kind Mandy. But then I also see the swagger Mandy that Eli's talking about. Like, I could see her on the couch watching Breaking Bad, smoking a Swisher Sweet.
Hell yeah.
Getting my text message going. Let's see how much this fucker really cares. Fuck it.
But that's also a compliment. Wow. That's also a compliment to Will, because I think you felt a level of safety.
Oh, 100%.
With him to be able to, like, just say that and know that everything's going to be okay on the other side. And probably when that phone call came to you, it was probably a little unexpected, but then also very much like, that's what should happen,
that's what
I'm so happy did happen.
I know it, and I don't think that I ever set out to test people. That's not I've never caught myself doing that.
Like intentionally.
Yeah, like well, let's.
So you weren't
see.
Smoking a blunt?
No.
Like Eli would, like testing me out, like all right. So
I ain't doing. I was smoking a blunt. I'm too paranoid for that shit.
That was so funny, but no, I think that was an opportunity for me to demonstrate to you that I saw you as someone who can take pushback. See, and that to me is the ultimate thing as a woman that you don't see very often. I think that, and that's not a criticism, no judgment. I just think that our lines get so definite.
Productive conflict is what it is, right? Like, and we've talked about this with some of our other close friends and a lot of people, and I know some alphas that don't like conflict. And it's because they never get it.
I know.
Everybody always like praises who they are, and everything they do is always so right and so glorious. When they do get some kickback,
right,
it's an issue, and that's okay. But like, man, especially like you and I, we've had productive conflict. I've talked, you've listened, super, super productive. Right? I'm joking. Like Eli's yelled at me a lot. He's actually extremely abusive. But I can't stress enough, like when you are building a team and you are like, if you want to build something significant and people that are committed to each other, you've got to have that level of like benefit of doubt that they're out there getting after it. And you got to listen to whoever's on the front line. So when you're on the front line of that deal, I got to be able to listen to you. Right. And then more importantly is you got to be forgiving of, don't split hairs with like how a conference. Now, if there's a pattern of abuse, that's different. Right. But when someone just needs to air out or speak their mind and maybe doesn't come off quite like you like it, putting that to the side and just realizing the meat and potatoes is, hey, they're speaking up. Mm-hmm. Hey, like, they're conversing. Cool. Like, fine. Mm-hmm. Cuss for a second. Whatever mm-hmm. you got to do. Mm-hmm. This is going to be productive if I allow it. Mm-hmm. And it's just not spoken enough about in business. People are always so uber sensitive, mm-hmm. you know, like they tend to like get offended first, or they just don't recognize the fact that, like, if someone takes you a certain way and you didn't mean it that way, you get very defensive yeah. versus just understanding, like, hey, just let them voice that out and then just work through it.
And, but companies aren't very conducive to that because everything's got to go through freaking HR.
Oh, my
So you
gosh.
Get one email bothers you instead of just being able to communicate with that person directly. You yeah. literally can't. You have to go to HR through mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, and the funny part is they don't do that to help resolve conflict. They do that to help
cover their ass,
protect the company.
So mm-hmm. they don't get fucking mm-hmm.
yes.
sued.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uncomfortable and
but then it escalates these whole things. So when it couldn't remember, like, hey, bro, can you not do that? Mm-hmm. Sorry, bro. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, like, for example, Eli mm-hmm. used to call me bitch all the time. What's up, bitch? How you doing, bitch? What are you doing, bitch?
Sounds just like me. Funny how your imitation of me sounds like you.
Huh. Damn it. Yeah. I gave myself up. but just having mm-hmm. some of that. But I think it does, and, like, it fuels me up, too, because it does make me feel like I've got that camaraderie yeah. with a select few of you where, like, you're out there getting after mm-hmm. it, and, like, that productive conflict couldn't be more beneficial.
You know what I love about people like you, Mandy, is it really helps prevent me from really going, like, super toxic on people myself. Like, I'm like, well, he mentioned his frustrations with people.
How he cusses me out
before, like, mm-hmm. just not wanting to get after it. Mm-hmm. It's nice. Like, you know, Will and I, stars aligned. We had a meeting. Mm-hmm, right. That was amazing. Mm-hmm. Prior to Will, I thought I was on a freaking island.
I know.
I thought, I'm like, I man, know. Am I just
what
like the only person?
Why
like,
am I so weird?
Yeah. And it can get frustrating when mm-hmm. you're looking at a team of people or just an industry, again, using real estate, for example, mm-hmm. where everyone says they want to do this, but then they actually do this. But mm-hmm. then you meet the Yous mm-hmm. and the Scotts and mm-hmm. the Gavins right. and those people. And you're like, okay, these people do exist. It's just such a rarity that these people fill this role. But then, man, there's a few people like you, very few and far between, but they are out there.
Yeah, the only thing that bothers me is, like, when people say they're that, but then their actions show they're not that. And then it fucking rubs me the wrong way. And I got to let that go because, man, it's like, maybe they do want to be that. Maybe they are, like, saying some things and then trying to warm up to that. It's not like they're trying to be liars or anything yeah. like that.
Well,
right?
And
like,
I think, dude, we just have a different level. Like, when we say we want to be that or mm-hmm. do this, our mind goes to a completely different place. Completely unrealistic to a lot mm-hmm. of people. Completely like our finance goals. Fuck, dude. Like mm-hmm. not normal.
Yeah.
Not you look normal. At you look mm-hmm. at other people and it's like no. they're making it. They're getting after it. And in their mind, they 100% are. Maybe yeah. they're making it is so that they can go on 3 vacations
right.
a year.
Right. Of
and
course.
In their mind, they're like, man, I'm crushing. Yeah, I got mm-hmm. 10 grand in the bank. But
and I'm not against right. vacations, right? Like, I want to be clear. Like, I'm not against, like, time off or vacations. I just feel like you've got to give yourself permission.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but if you're not where you want to be, mm-hmm. it's not the time for vacation.
But maybe they are where they want to be.
Well.
Yeah, that's, yeah. yeah. But 100%, you're right. Right.
And I think, you know, for me, you guys, the thing that it boils down to when I was raising the kids, you know, it was so obvious to me that if I am seen as incredibly special and so amazing mm-hmm. and loved beyond belief, which is amazing. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I mean, that's how I felt about my children, of
right.
course.
Right.
But the moment I convey that that's how everyone else sees them, they're screwed.
Yep, it's true.
They are just
honey.
Screwed.
Mommy loves you.
You know what? I love
you
a whole bunch.
But your shit stinks to everybody.
Yeah, you know what?
Understand?
I know my
that's such a good
my
point.
Thing was, you know, you guys, you are so cute. I love you so much, but you're not that cute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And nobody's ever going to think you are because that's just how life is. And
yeah,
so
such a good lesson.
So if I try to pave a path for you that's not legit, I mean, how are you ever going to, you know, do it on your own? And I think that, and I'm kind of using weird words of but that's a concept mm-hmm. and see I think you guys understand that concept and when the moment I met you that's why I said I'm not sure I'm up for it because I was a little off my game. I'd been through
Shit.
Kind of a lot at that
thank
point.
God you were man
oh my god
well, and here's what that also does for your kids though is mm-hmm. when you're like that they have the benefit of hey mom loves us no matter what
I'll take a bullet sure
but then mm-hmm. also hey I'm not expected to be perfect. Like mm-hmm. I promise like you saying the outside world doesn't look at you like this also gave them the idea that man, it probably alleviates some pressure from like,
I bet it did.
Hey, mom's going to love me no matter what. Like, I'm going to try my best, but man, when parents overly love their children and overly, you're the greatest, you're the best.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, if you don't feel like the greatest or the best or something,
how? Yeah.
Fuck. Do parents love me? Right. My mom going to love me if
or,
I,
or how am I ever going to achieve?
Yeah.
And I do think that, and I've really been, all three of my kids have demonstrated courage and like they're like vulnerable, that like wrestling. Really? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, you guys. Mm-hmm. Jiu-jitsu, yeah. And things like that.
Touch
that
butt.
Is just,
I'm still not convinced about jiu-jitsu.
My gosh, it's just, and I remember thinking, like, they'd have all their guys come and watch, all their boys. They'd be like, come watch me. And they, oh my gosh, they would just get the beat down of their life. Mm-hmm. And it would just be grueling and long. And in the end, they'd get stuck.
Yep.
And I mean, to me, that demonstrated something that they felt about themselves, that they were okay.
They're okay being vulnerable.
That they're okay. Yeah. They can be, they can take a beat down in front of their boys and mm-hmm. they're still okay.
But the stage was set, right? Like from mom, like the stage is set early on as far as like, hey, that's going to get you. There's a forgiveness and an acceptance mm-hmm. of it. Like, hey, that's okay to lose.
Yeah. And it did translate to them. And see, I don't think it translated to me because I never had that experience. So mm-hmm. I think what I do is a lot of compensating. Mm-hmm. I have to work awfully hard just to get to the starting line is what it feels like, you know? So then, you know, that's kind of a continuum.
She's going to take over this company.
I know she is.
I'm so nervous. Yeah, like, Will, what makes you go every day? I'm fucking running from Mandy.
That's hilarious.
I'm trying to keep my name on the damn sign.
Mandy,
me?
How does that feel? You're probably at a point right now to where it's like, yeah, you're still on the fucking gas pedal like you always are. But is there a period of like, okay, cool. Like I'm cruising, but like, No, not yet.
No, it doesn't. I'm not sure it'll ever translate to that. Yeah. What I'm anticipating is stepping into a different role, a different part of it mm-hmm. somehow. And of course, because I have
the example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the example of my parenting career, you know, that works well and you see benefits and you can see how it goes so beyond you. Mm-hmm. I mean that what my kids can do, their capacity is pretty amazing to me. Really. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like you're kind of in that loop of like, yep, they're in college, so they're kind of away from you, but then you go to their football games, you go and watch and mm-hmm. I'm sure you've got a lot of joy.
Oh, it's and I do. And I think that thanks for, you know, dialing that in, because that's kind of, I think, where I'm going with this. It's like, this is going to produce more than success and sales. This is going to produce something beyond what it is.
Bigger than this.
And I don't know how that looks and I don't have to, mm-hmm. but for now that's way down the road. Mm-hmm. And so today is just today, you know, so it doesn't really shift yet.
Mandy, what is your, outside of real estate, what does your personal life look like? Do you fuck? 'Cause you're fit, you're pretty, you're tan, you're healthy. What are you doing outside of business to
do
all of this? Yeah.
Yeah. Because I hadn't thought about it, but I'm not sure. I don't think there isn't much. It's a lot.
You work out, you eat healthy.
You know, I try to stay. I do my thing. What? Yeah. Well, I drink a little.
Yeah.
I love Jesus, but I drink a little. You've heard that. I do love Jesus, by the way, just a call out.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
So,
but well,
I'm sure kids, right? You've got time.
Yeah,
with kids.
You know, I try to do a lot of that kind of thing. But I get, like I say, I'm searching right now for something to fill a few of those little spots.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's
not
part.
Bingo.
It's probably not bingo.
Not bingo.
I don't think so. No, a little too active not. For bingo. I'm just glad you enjoy the grind and you enjoy building your career.
Because
when I've talked to a couple of folks, and I've got it, man. I've had the people that are like, I don't know what you call them. They've been around for a while, and like they. Mm-hmm. The unsolicited, you need to give me advice because I'm younger in the industry like you're this big deal. I'm using quotes, you know, because I think you think you're a big deal more to yourself, or like because you've been around for 25 years, you're a big deal. Like you have to like, hey, we're up and coming, so you have to like
say
give me advice. And we got this at Berkshire, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, well, don't burn out.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh.
Hey, listen, you just got to
pace
gotta,
yourself.
You got a good family and you got young kids and I'm just like, listen, dude, mm-hmm. I can't even get you to answer the fucking phone mm-hmm. when I got a question mm-hmm. for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just, you know, it's like, man, I wonder if there's more people out there like, no, like we had dinner with Gavin last night. We're talking some business. Going to Idaho soon for a shoot with some tier one guys. Super fun. I'm teaching there. I'm a lead instructor. Mm-hmm. Going to see Ben Newman soon. Super fun. Mm-hmm.
Very exciting.
Going to learn and converse about some business things there. Like, that shit is fun. Like, this whole business development thing that we're doing, like, dude, gosh damn it, dude. Like, it's fun. Like, why do I have to have something? Like, well, you got a hobby? Yeah, working out.
Yeah.
And lifting heavy awesome. Shit, hanging out with my kids. Like, but all of that seems like the grind per se. It's like, man.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But all of them, for different reasons, charge me up and motivate me. Like, I'm going to go see Tosh tonight. Mm-hmm. Tosh has a big fish event going on tomorrow. They're going to run like 100 hours, something gnarly. Mm-hmm. Some cool guys will be up there. Cool. Not volunteering for anything. Just going to go out and say hi to the guys. And I know a couple guys that are competing, so I'm going to go say hi. And, you know, I'll be there for 2 hours or so. And, hey, cool. And, like, that's, like, detached. But then, like, well, dude, I've sold, like, 3 homes to Tosh's friends. And, like, there's a guy that's up there that'll be volunteering that wants to see some land. So I'll take him to see some land. Like, there's always, like, some work involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
I know.
Dude, it's fun, though.
It is
fun.
And and that's the blessing, I think, because for me, if it weren't fun, if I didn't get, you know, a sense of fulfillment and purpose from it, I'd really be screwed, because seriously.
Yeah, and I got one for you. This is going to be a separate podcast subject. You'll be super proud of us, because we're going to talk about relationships and, like, significant others. But, like, let's just pop that cork right now and give a little teaser, because I want to hear about some of your relationship stuff and how you see it. I do give a lot of credit to my significant other, Kate, right? Like, she's a grinder. She just got a promotion into a different job. Ton of money. She's super proud. So she's a go-getter.
I know.
Grandma is retired. She's super active, super nice lady. You know, she's married to Kate's father. Just still married. But, like, in the Filipino community, like, yeah, hey, grandma's retired. She wants grandkids. So our kids go down there during the day. Chloe's in school. Cash, you know, he's 2.5. He needs a little bit more attention. But Chloe's 11. She does her thing. She's good at school. Cool. So Kate grinds her career during the day. And then when she's done for the day, she grabs kids. She has kids at night. And, like, if I get home at 6 o'clock, cool, I'm around some kids and until 8, and I'll get back to work or make some phone calls or whatever I'm doing. And that's okay with her. She doesn't care. Or if I'm not at home at all, right? Like, okay, like, her dad super grinded his company and sold it to Hewlett Packard. Like, he's a real from the dirt, came from Philippines to Qatar to America, you know, like, from the dirt, real entrepreneur. Like, I don't know if I'll ever catch that guy. But, like, she was raised around that. She understood the hard work. Like, her dad would sleep at the office in Denver Tech Center sometimes because they were building, man. Like, it was straight up, just ground up shit, right? And I wonder if, like, some of these, the unsolicited advice that I get, or when people, like, tell me things, you know, I'm like, oh, well, don't burn out. Like, wait, make sure you make time for this. It's like, man, I wonder if, like, that's, like, what you really want to tell your significant other. But you'll give me the advice. Yeah, because I saw it in the police world. I saw cops that had shit shows for lies. Not all of them. Don't get crazy here. But there was a couple cops that were shit shows in their personal life. But they were real good at giving advice to, and I'm not being sarcastic. Like, the advice they gave, sitting there like,
really?
Hey, man, that's really good. No, it was good. No shit, like,
and yeah.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
You're spot on. What the hell's the matter with you? Like, you don't, do you not hear you when you're talking, like, what the hell? Like, but I feel like, but then, like, their marriage was not in a, I felt like they were giving, like, the advice that maybe they needed for themselves, or that they felt was needed for their family. And it's like, hey, you don't know how my family works. Like, I'm happy.
Oh, absolutely.
Kate's happy. Like, we have a system and it allows us to get after it. Obviously, you're recently divorced, right? Like, we don't need to go into, like, uber detail or anything like that. But, like, how important, if you're choosing to be married or have a significant other, like, how important are or in business, you know, like, how important do you feel like are these relationships that you're so close needed with, where you're having children or your business partners, like, to you just having the ability to be you? Because there's some girlfriends I'm thinking of right now from my past. This would not have flown.
Oh,
this would not
work.
No. What are your thoughts on that stuff?
You know, it's taken a lot of years to kind of, you know, dial it into exactly the bottom line of it. And I think for me, it's super easy to understand that, you know, I've used the term, you know, iron sharpens iron. And I've said to the kids, you know, the thing that we have to do in life is find people who make us better. If we're around people who we're good enough just like we are, or like they're resenting if we're trying to, you know, have a goal or anything like that, or if they're not tuned into it, or if they're not supportive of it, or if they're not a part of the answer, or if they're not facilitating any of that, or, you know, like, if you're dating a girl and she's going to resent you spending time with your boys or
on your career
or on your career or anything that translates into another stumbling block. See, that's all that becomes. Right. And then there's all that tension. So it's no fun being that. I mean, I think that there's probably a lot that goes into relationships that could be a little bit more, you know, I suppose softer, more like, oh, gee, turn towards me and I love you and la, la, la.
People do that?
I guess. Apparently.
Oh, man.
But, and I mean, I'm not, that's awesome. But if that's not coupled with the sense of really wanting the other one to win, which is what you guys have.
And it comes from the support role too, right? Like, so like Kate and I,
of course, yeah.
People could consider that, oh, okay, so you're both like alphas, right? She's this alpha female, you're alpha in your business. And okay, so you guys helping each other win is by each other, both of you going out and winning. Like, I guess it sets the tone a little bit, but there's also a lot of support that has to happen. So whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a stay-at-home dad, when we talk about, like, I'm just using Kate as an example because that's our household. But I think the bottom line is her and I, our natural dispositions fit one another.
Agreed.
And we understand, like, where we've got to support one another. This is not about, okay, both people have to have crazy
just
careers.
Just be selfish and do your own thing.
You're like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Yeah. No. Because those could also be disastrous.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I think the bottom line is it's, like, it just has to, you've got to align and you've got to fit with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But then understanding, like, hey, where am I a support role? Mm-hmm. Like, and is support just listening to them? Is support helping with the kids? Is support, you know, like for me, like part of my support for Kate, right, is like she works a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And I'm down for that, right? But she has kids in the evening. So something that might sound super silly, I don't know, but like I pay for cleaning.
Love it.
Now, I still have my daughter. She cleans and she takes out trash.
Yeah, you're
she picks
not
up dog
denying
poop,
them that.
But there's
right.
a lot of core things that I get done every week at the house because it's like, hey, I know because she's got kiddos and I'm gone, man, like that's just another thing she has to do. It's like, why? Because she's wife? I don't know. Like, no, it's because, hey, she's already full on her workload. Then she's got kids. So and right. I order custom food so we don't get any full meals, but we get our proteins.
Mm-hmm.
Steak, salmon, chicken, and bison. I order that every week. And then all we have to be focused on is like we cook our carbohydrates and our veggies, but that's a lot more simplistic than cooking the proteins.
Of course.
And then I do the Traeger on the weekend, but I felt like those were great. So yes, it's a money thing.
It's a
whatever,
support thing.
But it's like, hey, there's a support of like, I'm bringing some seamless
and it's
things.
You're taking things off her plate.
Yeah.
100%.
And investing. See that investment and what your kids are witnessing is you guys teaming up. Finding answers and not creating more problems and neither of you turn directly toward yourself and you're not across the table.
Right.
You're shoulder to shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is, you know, a good visual for me.
I think it's important because, you know, like we've had this conversation and I've had some people speak to me about it and, you know, like I'm very open about how I feel fatherhood goes and certain things, but it's like there's also a lot of things about me that like, maybe you wouldn't like living with.
Mm. Of course.
Right? Like, and it's like, hey, there's this other side of me, not as in split personality. It's the same things about me, but like when you live with it on a day-to-day basis, like it can be
overwhelming. Yeah, we all got that shit, yeah.
Yeah,
fuck, man.
Sure. yeah. Oh, great.
It can be hard. Mm-hmm, you know, but like, I'm just trying to understand like everything you had to do to like represent for your boys.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know your kiddos, I've met them. Yeah, they're just
good
they're
dudes.
Studs. Those kids would whoop our ass. Yeah. Those are the kids that are like sober in the bar.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
You and I are wearing our high school Letterman jackets, like just talking shit, right? Yep. And like, they're doing us a favor by like not whooping our ass.
Yep.
One of them like chokes me out just a little bit.
100%.
Show me what's up,
that's
you know? And
him.
Like, then they let me talk trash on my way. Hey, trash.
They would mess
They up.
Would be the dude stone sober, having a great time, life of the bar, you know?
Yeah.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
Good kids, but like, man, it just, now that you're single, is that something that's still in the cards as like far as like relationships, or is it like, man, I just want to put me first and just focus on?
To me, nobody's better by themselves. I don't think. I don't think there's a person alive that is better in isolation.
Mm.
I think that we have to have interaction.
Do you see it differently now as far as like whether you date somebody or not? Like it, does it,
well,
now that you've gone through marriage and you're at a different place in life?
It becomes a different, it feels a different role, I think, at this point, obviously. There's no need for the child thing, you know, any of that. It's a whole different season. But for me, I just don't have any time to mess with somebody that I have to not, that doesn't, that doesn't get me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
nothing. And you identify that a lot quicker now?
Oh, a lot quicker, I think. And I think that, you know, and that's nothing against the kid's dad. He was awesome. He's an amazing man. It's just that we were never actually married. Mm-hmm. You know, he kind of did his thing always. And as long as I didn't disrupt it too much, he would show up, you know, and be at home and feed the kids dinner and, you know, go play ball with them or whatever. And but that was kind of the way he wanted marriage to look. And I needed a lot more, you know,
interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The actual both of us working together for the same thing, kind of.
That's how I talk to Eli a lot. He never understands me.
I'm trying. This is good for me. This is good for me. Yeah, this is good for me.
That's awesome, man. What are your, I know we got to get you out of here before you get to, I'm sure you got plenty of stuff to do today, but as far as like anything you're excited for career-wise, adventure-wise, like the next couple of years, like as far as like how you've seen your career kind of blow up and you're having some success and some confidence, and man, that's got to be cool that like a lot of your actions have solidified the confidence because you've seen financially some great success through people complimenting you and we haven't had a client not like you. Mm-hmm. You got your own clients that are super appreciative of you. Is there anything, you know, that you're moving toward that you're excited about moving forward?
For me, it's so exciting being a part of something that never, you know, in the book Winning, you know, how he talks about, people talk about it's a marathon, pace yourself. And that never, it never resonated with me either. Mm. And what he's saying is it's a sprint. It's a full on sprint and it's always a sprint and it just doesn't stop.
You don't know the finish line.
I like when Tim Grover, well, because he talked about it with Ed Milet, and I think it was Ed Milet saying it and then Tim Grover kind of solidified it. But everybody keeps saying, like, you know, enjoy the journey. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
Oh.
And they think that's getting taken out of context and worn out. And, like, Ed Milet was like, look, when I'm up in my plane, I enjoy the flight. It's pretty looking out the window. But when I land, if they land in Florida and I'm supposed to be in New York and it just cost me a day, no. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I'm, no.
I don't enjoy this.
The
yeah.
trip mm-hmm. flying was not worth being in the wrong fucking spot. Yeah. So it's like, hey, enjoy the process, what you can about the process, but it's more about, does that process have an actual destination? Do I got a fucking
goal?
Where am
I landing?
Yeah. Versus like, you know, and I appreciated them saying that because
me too.
I think a lot of people that don't have certain levels of success tend to speak about certain levels of success and they don't know what it looks like or what it feels like. And you could be inaccurate. And, you know, I do like, how do I say it? Like the sprint, you know, it's like that balance of like, you're at a sprinter's pace, but you're running a marathon. It's like, okay, well that makes no sense. Right? How can you sprint for a marathon? It literally means run as fast as you can for a marathon. And I like that because, I feel like I'm level-headed, I'm energetic, I'm poised. I could definitely overwork myself and get stressed and get all weird to you, Eli, and just say dumb shit and stress everybody out. But I feel like we are working at a super fast pace, but every day we're recovered. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like doing CrossFit. You're doing like six different workouts, but you're doing each workout at just a fast enough pace where you can maintain it and you don't have to stop in between workouts. Right? Like, I feel like that's kind of like where we're getting at in business and no, until that book, like I haven't heard it explained very well, but just hearing the whole like,
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And hearing the whole like, man, like, yeah, okay. Like enjoy the destination. Like if it happens to be enjoyable, but at the same time, put more weight on the focus and direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where are you going?
I know.
Don't just zone out. And you know, and I think young people really, that's a danger. Well,
they let their emotions have too much majority vote.
Exactly.
That's how I describe it. Like, hey, don't let your emotions have majority vote. And I'm bringing him up all day today, I guess, cause I'm seeing him later, but Tosh, I think I got that from Tosh. Mm-hmm. I'm giving him credit. He's a smart dude. So if he got it from somewhere, he's getting the credit. Not allowing your emotions to have majority vote. Like, I think that's super important because very rarely do your emotions create the actual right outcome or the right way to approach something.
No, like, I know. Yeah.
And that's when you're talking about like your business and like if you're talking and you're putting so much emphasis on like enjoying the journey, well, that's a very emotional response. It's like enjoyment is this emotional feel. And then if for some reason I don't feel that, I'm like pumping the brakes or doing something different when you're just getting
when
fucking
that's
started.
A goal, if enjoyment is the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or just
really
like we say in the Marine Corps, like, welcome to the suck or enjoy the suck. But it definitely lets you know this is going to suck. But I promise you, like when I was like in the Marine Corps, I was a squad leader. I was a lot of shit. Doesn't matter. We had a squad at the time called Dirty Third. And we did all, man, I had rechecks from other platoons that were knucklehead, terminal lance, that were good dudes, They had a hard time with authority if the authority were pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are sergeants that aren't very adequate and people, youngsters that come from gangs and other backgrounds that are great Marines but don't have that political side to them quite yet. They're not very tasteful. If they think their leader is not a good rifleman, not educated, but they're a sergeant, they're not going to respect them, and it causes conflict. They would send those dudes to my squad. It's called this dirty third. I loved it. But, like, man, like, it was gritty, but there were, but they, like, we ran longer than other squads. We put more weight in our fucking pack than other squads. Like, they started enjoying that it was going to suck more than other squads because they had a pride. And there was this pride and this identity that came about with third squad. Now, too far of that, like, you don't want to alienate yourself from other Marines in your platoon. So, like, too much of that can be weird. But what I'm getting at was, like, they started enjoying,
they embraced,
and I think that's, I think that's what Kobe Bryant would talk about, you know, like embracing like the process, just knowing it's going to suck. But when it's like, oh, enjoy the journey, like, fuck,
that
sounds weird.
That means nothing. That's meaningless. Yeah. But for me, see, I'm always, I think that I pursue power. I want power. And I don't, and I never know exactly what that power is. Looks like, but I think that it, that probably stemmed, that's one of those big things from being a kid with no power and no voice and being completely isolated.
But you don't come off like you're trying to take power from
anyone. But it, it's a very subconscious thing, and I'm not trying to take it. I'm trying to build
earn it and build it. Almost like so could that power be visualized as like independence?
Yeah.
You're paying your own bills, you're supporting yourself, you're impacting people.
I can't impact anyone if I don't have something to impact them with, right? And I think power has a lot of forms. Financial success is one of them for sure. It just makes us able to impact in other ways, you know? And I think that that's, for me, that's the most meaningful thing we can do is impact.
And power, but like, you and I were talking about this the other night about like how power can be manipulated and taken the wrong way.
Oh,
and then we talked, we had a couple jokes about these weird churches.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And like how people use articulation and like influence is a very powerful thing. Like how influence can be used in a very toxic way. So you're talking about like the power of influence and impact and independence.
Right. In positive. Oh, of course. And it doesn't ever enter my mind to manipulate and use it. And see, that's again where I feel safe here. You guys are powerful. You guys are game changers. You're literal game changers. And the fact that you don't have 25 people lined up at your door every minute of every day just blows my mind.
I'm kicking them out. You know why? Because they're telling me they want to do this and do that and work this and work that. And like, I want that too. And like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You know, like I called you on Saturday. You didn't answer. I saw you at the pool. Get out.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, see, I don't get that. That's a complete disconnect for me. I don't understand that. But I do feel like if I've got people supporting me and giving me, you know, the ability to do more, to not take advantage of that. I mean, I do manipulate that. I do take advantage. I stick right there.
Well, it's refreshing, Mandy. Your energy is contagious.
Well, I think I'll leave it with this. Like, I think if there's one thing I could sum up about Mandy, like why we had her here today, why I thought it was important for people to hear her. Hopefully we'll have her on more when she's got time. She's out. She doesn't need us right now. She's making that money. But, you know, I think if there's one thing, if I could wrap Mandy up in a statement, it was like, man, like beyond fear or insecurity or the unknown, like, she just got after it. She just got after it, both feet in, and put herself around who she thought would be good people that would get her along the way. And if somebody wouldn't get her along the way, like she was in real estate prior to us. She was working with a lady who was a managing broker. And so she jumped in, she got a coach, but then the managing broker she's with, you know, wasn't quite paying up. That person was retiring, so it was no longer going to be a resource. And she got resourceful and she put herself back out there, put herself around who she thought would be good people. And she wasn't, she wasn't relying on other people to, she just being resourceful, right? Like she was, she found where she needed to go and just jumped in and got after it regardless. And like, but I just love how like fear is real for you. You talk about it.
Big time.
Insecurities are real for you. You talk about it, but you're one of the rare people that are so open about it and comfortable with it, yet you still move forward. Like, yes, I'm scared. Yeah, yes, I'm insecure. Yeah. Yes, I don't know everything about real estate. No, I'm not going to stop, though. These things, I'm going to conquer these things over time. And I think that's from just your experience through life, you know, like,
well, the choices.
You saw
die.
The ladder.
Yeah.
You saw the ladder.
I'm
what,
not
sit
doing
and die
that anymore. Yeah, yeah, sit down and die. Yeah.
But I think that's, man, if there's any encouragement I could give other people, other women, other people in general, just like, man, the power of just understanding your fear, not trying to ignore it and put it on the back shelf. Just, hey, it's there. But just not allowing the insecurities and the fear to like prevent you from just chasing what you want to chase and getting after it, knowing like you're going to be better for it. Like, you're a prime example of what that looks like. Yep. Super cool.
Well, and it's great to have people who can support it. So that's where I'm at.
That's the easy part, dude. She's been getting after it since day one, dude.
She has.
I was waiting for this to be like undercover boss. She's like this 50 billionaire lady that's like, oh, yeah, this has been an undercover show. I own
still might
New
happen.
York.
Still, like, might happen.
Cool. So did we make the show? Oh, no. We're just
fired?
Using you, honey.
Yeah.
We're just
you're
using
just a pawn in my
that's
game.
Right. Like, that's right.
Wouldn't for surprise reals. Me.
You guys are big pawns, by the way. Big, handsome pawns. That's why I chose you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. If you guys have any questions for her, from Mandy, hit us up. You can find her on, you're on Instagram, correct?
Yep.
What's your handle?
Mandy Mullen Realtor.
There you go.
M-A-N-D-I.
Mandy with an I. Mullen.
No underscore.
No.
I think there is an underscore between.
Mandy underscore Mullen.
Either way, hit me up. Hit up our channel. Throw us an email. Throw us a call. That's if you guys have questions or if you want to connect with Mandy, let us know and we'll get you guys. Get you guys. If you're worth a shit. We might be Mandy's gatekeeper. So you're not just getting a number. We got to screen you and make sure you're good to go. But what a pleasure. I know it was a little unscripted and just having some fun. But man, there's so many gold nuggets as far as like just kind of what you've been through and how you've gotten after it that I just felt like, in addition to him and I talking about it, having someone like you come on and really just speak that truth, it's super powerful, I think, for people to hear. And I'm excited.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
You're
welcome.
Thanks
for listening, guys. Day one, dollar zero, out.
He always says it all day. I'ma sip it on down and turn it up. Southbound and trailblazing, yeah, but.